It's 5:30. I'm Nora Flaherty, and you're listening to MPBN Radio. Ahead on Maine Things Considered this evening, concerns about the governor's plan to move state agencies to save money. And we'll check in on some Mainers who were in Nepal when the devastating earthquake hit. Those stories in your Maine newscast just ahead. First, this national and world news from NPR. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. The LePage administration is still refusing to release more than $11 million worth of voter-approved bond money earmarked for land conservation projects across the state until lawmakers approve a proposal of the governor's regarding timber harvesting on state land. Conservationists say they're frustrated by the political card game, which they say is holding up the works on some important preservation agreements. And as Tom Porter discovered, they're turning up the heat on LePage to release the funds.
The Knights Pond Blueberry Hill Preserve is a 215-acre parcel of land straddling the suburban southern Maine communities of Cumberland and North Yarmouth. Although privately owned, members of the public have long enjoyed access to the area. With a 46-acre pond, a network of trails and a forested hillside, it's a favourite spot for many local residents, among them Janet Lynch.
This is just a gem, an absolute gem.
And it's a gem under the threat of development, as evidenced by splashes of blue paint on the occasional tree. Penny Asherman of the Chibeague and Cumberland Land Trust explains.
You'll notice around the property that a lot of the trees are marked with blue paint, and so the property was going to be cut and sold to developers. There was a real estate agent hired, and we stepped in just in time.
Asherman was among those gathered at the edge of Knights Pond Monday morning to draw attention to the threat posed to this and other land conservation projects across the state. She says the landowner has agreed in principle to sell to the two municipalities who plan to operate the area as public parkland. As part of the deal, three land trusts have teamed up with concerned local residents to raise more than $1 million between them to purchase the property. Democratic State Senator Kathy Breen says all that's needed for the sale to be finalised is the $225,000 of bond money allocated to the project as part of the Land for Maine's Future, or LMF, program. But that money won't be forthcoming, she says, until Republican Governor Paul LePage signs off on it.
It's now time for Governor LePage to follow through on Maine voters' commitment to conservation and to issue the Land for Maine's Future bonds.
Conservationists say Knights Pond is one of about three dozen projects totaling 50,000 acres that are in jeopardy because of LePage's refusal to release voter-approved bonds. The governor reiterated his position on Monday in a letter to the legislature's Agriculture, Conservation and Forestry Committee. An administration spokesperson declined to go on tape, but in the letter, LePage repeated his assertion not to release the LMF bonds, worth more than $11 million, until the legislature enacts a particular piece of legislation regarding timber revenues. LePage wants revenues from the harvesting of timber on state parkland to be transferred to the Efficiency Maine Trust to help rural Mainers with heating costs. He describes this as a, quote, modest proposal to help those fellow Mainers who are most in need.
I personally think it's a subversion of the democratic process.
Local resident Janet Lynch is concerned that the collapse of the Knights Pond Blueberry Hill deal could see the preserve ending up in the hands of developers.
Voters expect that the bond money should be released as they voted for them. And people care very much about this property.
Meanwhile, a bipartisan group of lawmakers plans to introduce legislation that would force LePage to release voter-approved bonds. Republican Senator Roger Cates and other sponsors will discuss the details of that bill at a State House news conference on Tuesday. Senator Cates declined to provide comment for this story. For MPBN News, I'm Tom Porter.
You're listening to Maine Things Considered on MPBN. Ahead on the show, we'll check in on some Mainers who were in Nepal when the earthquake hit. But first, Governor LePage may not want to release voter-approved bonds for conservation projects, but deep in his own budget is a $112 million bond proposal to renovate and even rebuild some state office buildings instead of leasing them. The move has rattled Augusta City officials and stumped some state lawmakers who are worried about the long-term implications. That's because Maine agencies lease more than 500,000 square feet from private Augusta landlords who then assume related maintenance costs. A.J. Higgins has more.
The trend away from rehabbing deteriorating state buildings in favor of leasing existing space in Augusta began under Governor Angus King and rapidly accelerated under Governor John Baldacci. Kevin Mattson, a partner in the Central Maine Commerce Center, where the state leases more than 250,000 square feet of space, says during most of those 16 years, the state faced declining revenues and repeated agency streamlining and mergers. He says the decision to privately contract for lease space rather than borrow tens of millions of dollars for infrastructure improvements was not a hard one for state policymakers.
The state decided to go with lease space primarily because it just costs less money.
At least that was the prevailing philosophy until Governor Paul LePage's $6 billion two-year state budget came out in January. Included in the 121-page document is a proposed $112 million bond that would be used to renovate space within existing state facilities as leases with private landlords, such as Mattson, expire. Under this type of facilities bonding, the governor can bypass voter approval and a public hearing. It has been used in the past for structural upgrades to the Cross State Office Building and the Maine State Prison. The governor's chief of finance, Richard Rosen, did not return a telephone call for this story, but in an interview with the Kennebec Journal, he said the reversion to state ownership plan will provide $46.4 million in state savings over 35 years. Given the state's less than stellar record on keeping its properties in tip-top shape, some lawmakers remain concerned.
Now, some people may say, well, what do we care about Augusta? And I think the answer is, we're the capital city, and we all ought to have an interest in a vibrant and economically sound capital city.
State Senator Roger Cates is an Augusta Republican and member of the legislature's Appropriations Committee. He says he's anxious to see what statistical data the LePage administration has assembled to back up its savings claims and justification for why renovated state properties are a better bargain than leasing, which includes all costs associated with building maintenance.
A private landlord who is renting to the state contractually has to keep up the maintenance. When the building needs a new roof, it gets it. Time and time again, we've seen that the legislature, and we'll take blame for that here, routine maintenance and upgrades to buildings is kind of the easiest cut to make when it gets to the end of the appropriations process. Government cannot do it better.
At the local level, Cates' constituents in Augusta are taking the bond proposal seriously and have authorized a financial analysis of the plan by an independent consultant. Augusta City Manager Bill Briggio says that with several existing state leases set to expire in the next few years, the state's move away from leased properties will have a dramatic impact on city revenues.
My staff has estimated that if the major buildings that are identified were to lose their state tenants and not be able to replace that with other tenants, it could be well over $1 million a year in lost property tax revenues for the city. So that would be like a 5% property tax increase in and of itself.
Cates says he believes that Democrats and Republicans on the Appropriations Committee have strong reservations about the plan and will require supporting documentation from the administration concerning its savings projections. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Finally today, a 57-year-old yoga instructor from Augusta remains unaccounted for following the devastating earthquake that struck Nepal over the weekend. Don Habash was on a trek through the Langtang National Park when the quake hit. In the meantime, several other Maine families with loved ones in the area have gotten word that their loved ones are safe. The devastating quake is now being blamed for more than 4,200 deaths. Jay Field has more.
Dawn Habash left back in November on a six-month trip to South Asia. She's trekked in Nepal several times before and decided to squeeze in another quick visit before her April 29th flight out of the region.
It's really hard to just be in the complete unknown.
Khalid Habash, who owns the Blue Lobster gift shop in Portland, says his mom is an experienced trekker. He says he last spoke with her on April 17th. The day before she set off on an 8 to 10 day trek through the national park, about 20 miles north of Kathmandu.
Trekking in Nepal, you're not exactly in easy access for communication anyway, regardless of an earthquake. She could be totally fine and just out of a way of communicating, or she could not be. and that's what's a little worrisome.
Habash has spent the past 2 days talking to reporters in an effort to get his mom's name out there. He hopes getting a photo of her onto CNN will catch the eye of anyone who may have traveled with Don Habash recently. Khaled Habash says both he and his sister have trekked in the same area their mother was headed.
Some villages, you know, possibly got wiped out by a landslide, and some didn't. I'm not going to speculate. I don't want to assume anything.
Habash says lots of people have been praying for his mother's well-being. Other Maine families, meantime, had their prayers answered in the hours after the 7.8 magnitude earthquake.
She called us Saturday morning at about 6:30 to tell us that she was all right and that they had a massive earthquake.
Steve Hudson's daughter, Allison, who's 28, is a documentary filmmaker. She's been in Nepal since January, working on a film about the lives of Sherpa mountaineering guides. Father and daughter are from Southwest Harbor.
She had just come down from the mountains. She had hiked out of from Everest Base Camp area. So she had just gotten back to Kathmandu, hadn't been there many hours before the earthquake hit. She got up and ran to her doorway and stood in that until the tremor stopped, and she grabbed her pack and left the building. The damage was quite severe. I don't know about collapsed buildings, but certainly lots and lots of people in the street not going in buildings, staying outside because of the risk of additional shocks.
Meantime, three other Mainers who were also in Nepal when the earthquake hit have been accounted for. For MPBN News, I'm Jay Field.
And at 14 minutes before 6, it's time to check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
A less than ideal weather pattern that began in mid-April will plague us into early May, as multiple gyres of low pressure will remain in proximity. Tonight, showers will roam about, yet there will be a few glimpses of the stars. Breezy, mid-30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, a very blustery day, mostly cloudy over northern and western Maine with afternoon showers. Throughout central and southern Maine, morning sunshine yielding to midday clouds with an afternoon shower. Upper 40s to upper 50s north to south. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, limited sunshine, a bit brighter along the coast, and there will be isolated sprinkles about, especially over the higher terrain in the afternoon. Highs tomorrow, low 50s to low 60s north to south. Highs only in the 50s Thursday and Friday. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's Maine Things Considered for today. Thanks to Ed Morin, Andrew Catalina, and Susan Sharon. I'm Nora Flaherty.